In 1996, Brian and sisters, I was asked to do my first exhortation. A few days after being asked, I was down at my grandma's. I remember asking her if she could think of anything I could base my exhortation on. And almost immediately, she bent down, picked a Bible up, opened it and passed me this piece of card from inside a Bible. Here you are, she said, do it on this psalm. It's an exhortation in itself, because whenever I'm feeling down or lonely, I read this psalm and it cheers me up. The psalm written on the piece of card, brothers and sisters, was Psalm 23, a psalm which is full of life, rest and peace, speaking of how the Lord provides and cares for his children throughout their mortal lives. Even though David wrote it some 3,000 years ago, it still provides strength and comfort for all who read it, and is probably one of, if not the best known chapters in the Bible. So this morning, for words of exhortation, I'd like to just look at Psalm 23 verse by verse, to provide us with words of strength and comfort. So in verse 1 then, of Psalm 23, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So we'll look at this verse firstly from King David's point of view. As I'm sure we know, before David became king, he worked as a shepherd. In Psalm 78, and verses 70 to 72, we read, "He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel's inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." So David knew from experience the cares and affections that a good shepherd had towards his flock. A good shepherd would watch over his flock tirelessly. At the start of the summer, he would lead the flock up to the fertile green pastures on which the sheep could feed and drink. So the shepherd supplied the flock with the food and water they needed to live. The flock would also only respond to their shepherd's voice. It was the only voice they knew and hence trusted. So in verse 1 of Psalm 23, David is using the example of a shepherd and his flock to state the confidence that he had in the Lord God as his shepherd. He's basically saying in this verse that if the Lord is my shepherd, I may conclude I shall not want anything that is really necessary and good for me. I shall be supplied with whatever I need. If I have not everything I desire, I may conclude it is either not fit for me or good for me, or I shall have it in due time. And these words echo the words of Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Where it says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." And just as the Lord God was a shepherd to David, so the Lord Jesus has been appointed by God to be our shepherd. Now in Luke chapter 15 we have the parable of the lost sheep. And in verses 3 to 6 of Luke 15 we read, "And Jesus spake this parable unto them, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Some of these parables, I'm sure we know, Jesus is referring to himself as a shepherd. So just as David trusted that with the Lord as his shepherd, he will be safe, he will be provided for, so we as Christ's disciples are assured that he will guide us, he will provide for us, and he will watch over us tirelessly. We can have 100% trust and confidence in Jesus as our shepherd. He will not turn his back on us when the going gets tough. And Jesus illustrates this point in John chapter 10, where in the first 5 verses, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, Jesus was speaking this parable to the scribes and the Pharisees, who are actually portrayed in this parable as the thieves and the robbers. Jesus spoke this parable to show that he is the true and only shepherd to all of God's flock, as he illustrates in the next part of the parable, which begins in verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them, and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, so far in this parable, I believe that Jesus has been referring to himself as a shepherd to the Jews. Then in verse 16 he says, Another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. These other sheep are the Gentile believers, you and I. And once we are taken into the fold, Jesus will care for us and never abandon us. Now, I believe that in Israel, at the time of Jesus, the sheepfold was called a rid, and it was some sort of an enclosure made of stone and sometimes had a fence of reeds round about it. In this enclosure, there was a large door through which the shepherd either led the sheep in or led them out. At springtime, when the lambs were born, which usually took place inside the sheepfold, they made a smaller door so that two lambs could not come out of the sheepfold at the same time. Now, the sheepfold can be compared to life in the ecclesia. Like the sheepfold, the ecclesias are separate from the world. It is where brethren and sisters, the flock of Jesus, meet together, where we keep each other warm and comfortable through fellowship, and where we are fed and nourished by the word of God. And finally, when looking at these verses from John chapter 10, one of the most comforting aspects we get from them is the fact that as our shepherd, our chief shepherd, Jesus will always be there for us no matter what. No matter how dark the days may get, no matter how hopeless the situation may seem or be, he will always be there for us. He's not some hired servant who will flee at the first sign of trouble and turn his back on us. He will be there for us no matter what. Moving on then to verse 2 of Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now the words green pastures here in verse 2 can also be read as pastures of tender grass. And getting the sheep to lie down in green pastures is one of the shepherd's main tasks. It is also a task that is performed on God's behalf by Jesus our shepherd. We all receive abundant blessings from God's good hand. As well as temporal blessings, I think the green pastures in verse 2 of Psalm 23 can be applied to spiritual blessings, the word of God. The word of life is spiritual nourishment for us all. The word of God is our spiritual pasture. It will never be barren, it will never be eaten bare, it will never become parched, but will always be a green pasture on which to increase our faith. So Jesus makes us to lie down, and he also leads us beside the still waters. Notice how he does not lead us to troubled seas or rapid swirling waters, but to still waters. And in Greek it's actually translated as waters of rest. And basically, verse 2 of Psalm 23 is all about rest. I'd just like to look at a few words from the verse to illustrate this point. So the word maketh in verse 2 is translated from the Hebrew word shovar, and by implication means to adjust, counterbalance, compose, and place. The phrase lie down is translated from the Hebrew robats, which means to stretch out, lie down, lie stretched out, to cause to lie down. So this gives the idea of assuming a restful position. Now, the cause to lie down implication makes it seem as though Jesus, as our shepherd, actually has to make us stop and rest. When you think about it, it probably has to. Is it sometimes the case, brothers and sisters, that we can be so busy thinking and worrying about everything that goes on in our lives that we forget the fact that Christ is our shepherd, he is guiding us and will take care of all our needs? Is it sometimes the case that we can be so busy planning and taking care of our needs that we have forgotten the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 verse 25, where he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Now obviously we do need to plan ahead. But what Jesus is saying here is not to let it consume our lives. Because as our shepherd, Jesus will make sure that we are provided for. If it is consuming us, it believes that is when Jesus steps in, makes us lie down in the green pastures, and helps us enter into his rest. And finally, when looking at these words in verse 2, which imply rest, the word leadeth is translated from the Hebrew nohal, which means to lead, give rest, lead with care, cause to rest. So the whole of verse 2 paints a picture of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, causing us to assume a restful position in a safe, peaceful place. He wants us to cease from our planning, our worrying, and the stress, and strive to enter into his rest. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, "Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." In verse 3 then we read, "He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Now it's a fact, brothers and sisters, that no animal, no creature can get lost quicker or easier than a sheep. And when it is lost, it does not know that it is lost. If it suddenly finds itself on its own in a strange area with strange surroundings, it gets the feeling that something is not quite right, but it never gets a sense of being lost. And as the sheep of Christ's flock, the same thing can be applied to us. It can be so easy to stray from the straight and narrow way that Christ has laid out for us without even realizing it. In Isaiah 53 verse 6 it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." As our shepherd, if Jesus sees us straying from the path that he's laid out for us, he will guide us back onto it. If he did not, then we would just wander aimlessly further down the wrong path, because as I've mentioned, a sheep does not know when it is lost. As our chief shepherd, Jesus restores us when we start to wander. I don't think it matters to Christ how far we may have wandered and how long we may have been wandering for. Jesus will never abandon us and will do everything he can to guide us back into the fold. So as our shepherd, Jesus restores us if we start to wander. And he's also leading us in the path of righteousness, the plain path of truth and holiness, the path which leads to the kingdom. And he's doing this for his name's sake. So what does this mean? Well, looking at this psalm from the point of view of Jesus and his disciple, so looking at it from this point of view, Jesus is leading us in the path of righteousness for his Father's name's sake. That name, as we know, is Jehovah. And as you read through all six verses of Psalm 23, you can establish from the name Jehovah in its various forms that firstly the Lord provides. We shall not lack anything when we are shepherded by him. Secondly, the Lord is peace. He makes us slow down from our labours and enter into his rest. Thirdly, the Lord heals, he restores us. Fourth, the Lord is our righteousness because he's leading us in the paths of truth and holiness. And finally, the Lord is there. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So as our shepherd, Jesus watches over us, restores our lives, and leads us along the right paths because he is true to his Father's name. Just as the Lord God did all these things for his chosen people Israel, so Jesus does them for us. In the next verse then of Psalm 23 verse 4 we read, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Now what we have here in verse 4 is a description of a place that is dark and difficult to travel through. The Hebrew translation of this word valley in verse 4 describes a steep, narrow valley or gorge, whilst the shadow of death in Hebrew translation means death shadow or place of the dead. And as with David, the shadow of death is a place where we all walk. As he says in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. But notice, brothers and sisters, how it is a valley of the shadow of death, not a valley of death. A shadow can be threatening and scary, but it's only a shadow. There's no actual substance to it, and therefore it can't actually present a real threat to us. For example, the shadow of a dog never actually bit anyone. And likewise, with Jesus as our shepherd, we need not be afraid of the shadow of death. Because of our shepherd's supreme sacrifice, we can be assured that even though death may come to us, it will not be our final resting place. Our final destination is the kingdom of God. And also, brothers and sisters, by shadow of death, I don't think it's just referring to death itself. During our lives, we encounter many other shadows in this valley, which can be quite scary and threatening. But with Jesus our shepherd, we don't need to fear any of them, because he will guide us safely through each one as we come to them. I think this fact is emphasised by the next words in verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, a shepherd's staff has two functions. The first function is illustrated by the word rod, which has been translated from the Hebrew word shebet, which refers to a club, scepter, tribe club or truncheon. So basically the word rod refers to when the shepherd uses his staff as a weapon to fight off predators, thieves or anything that would hurt his sheep. And the rod can actually be likened to the rod of Moses, which was used at the Red Sea to save the children of Israel from the Egyptians. The second function of a shepherd's staff is illustrated by the word staff, which is translated from the Hebrew word pronounced mishenor, and basically means support of every kind. The shepherd uses the staff to guide the sheep in the direction he wants them to go, keeping them away from dangers and hazards that the sheep normally aren't aware of. So we can take comfort and rest in the fact that Jesus is our shepherd. He's watching over us constantly with his rod and staff. He's more than equipped to help us with any problems we may face. Moving on then, the next verse, verse 5 of Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, up till now, all the verses that we've looked at in this psalm have been centred around the peace, rest and safety that we are assured of with Christ as our chief shepherd. And in verse 5, nothing changes. The assurance that we get from the words, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, is that no matter what the fear, no matter what the problem, our shepherd is always with us. And he will do his utmost to comfort, help us and give us peace in even the most fearful and seemingly hopeless circumstances. He is a constant in our lives, even if we are not always consistent with him. The next few words in verse 5 are, thou anointest my head with oil. I think this speaks of how Jesus said our shepherd is constantly refreshing us with his grace, favour and love. And in the hotter climates of the world, it's a custom to put oil on oneself to prevent excessive sweating. If you mix with this oil with perfume, you get a very refreshing feeling. Verse 5 concludes with the words, my cup runneth over. Jesus said our shepherd provides us with all the spiritual and temporal blessings we need. We all here have, and I think have never lacked, food on the table each day and a roof over our heads. It is something we should be truly thankful for and should never forget who provides these things for us. As it says in Psalm 103 verses 1 and 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And the greatest blessing and benefit that we should continually thank the Lord for is our guide, our shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Finally then, brothers and sisters, we come to the last verse in the psalm, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word surely here in verse 6 means it is certain, it is guaranteed. And what was it that David was so certain of? Reading on in verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For the Lord is his shepherd, David had the assurance that he would dwell in the house of the Lord, the kingdom of God, forever, for eternity. And so, brothers and sisters, with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not want. He makes us to lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside the still waters. He restores us and leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And though we all walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not need to fear it or any evil, because the Lord Jesus is our chief shepherd, and we have the assurance from him that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and by God's grace we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.